Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. More on the Houston Astros in a moment. And basketball, a dynamic. This is a dynamic day-night doubleheader at the Jordan Center on Saturday. The 13th-ranked Nittany Lion basketball team will take on Northwestern, which, by the way, hosts Michigan tonight, at noon. And then the second-ranked Penn State wrestling team, back on a roll again, will take on third-ranked Ohio State at 7:30. You could have as many as 30,000 people through the turnstiles on Saturday. Now, that's fun. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day. Michigan State, at the end, gets Illinois, and I'll have an addendum to this.
Winston has it. Frazier's on it. Winston gets in the paint, scoops it up. They'll go to Tillman with a follow and the stuff.
Right, Reese Davis with the call on ESPN. It's what happened after that. Oh no. Tillman scores with 6.6 seconds to go. And I obviously didn't see it till this morning traveling back. When we landed last night, the coaches were looking at their phones of video, and I could only see it from afar, and I could see the Tillman play, and then I couldn't really see what happened after that. What happened after that was Io DeSumo, who is just a fabulous player, especially offensively. He's coming down the floor to make a last play, whether to make a shot himself or maybe feed Coburn or Bishanis Vili or Trent Frazier, who's shooting the ball really well from three, or to make the play, as I said, himself. And all of a sudden, he puts the brakes on, and his leg went. You're like, oh, no. Now, they have not said yet, because they probably don't have the results back yet, how he is, but it's like, it just breaks your heart when you see something like that. Yeah, I know they're playing here on Tuesday, but you know how I am, Matt. I don't want anybody hurt. Nobody.
Oh, no way. And when I saw that, too, I thought the exact same thing. One of those non-contact plays.
Like, oh, no.
Double whammy like that. You lose at the buzzer like that, and then all of a sudden you may lose one of your top players for, who knows, but probably a significant amount of time.
And everybody, because I've talked to Brian Barnhart over the years a lot. I talked to Brian a lot. He tells you, I was just a great kid. You're like, oh, geez, I just hate that. So we'll hope for the best there. Maybe it was just one of those, it's a sprain, something. We'll find out. Okay, let's get to the Astros for a moment. The Astros obviously have a gigantic problem. You're at spring training. You are going to have to meet with the media at some point. You have no choice. You have to. And they have decided to hunker down. Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, was being interviewed on a San Francisco, or at least Bay Area radio station. I think he was out for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I don't know if he played in it, but he was out there for it. And he got asked directly about this, and he had enough, and he walked off the set. Oh, okay. Justin Verlander was playing in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Now, with all due respect to the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, it probably is a different crowd than the one that goes to Bethpage Black. All right, a little more potentially, it's Monterey Peninsula. Like, so, yeah, I'm sure you have a mix, but... And every time Justin Verlander swung the club, people yelled, "Cheater." Oh, boy. Not good. So the Oakland A's had Fan Fest. Like everybody does. Everybody does their Fan Fest. You know, Bucknell Women's Basketball, Fan Fest, Matt Cotrillo answering questions. What's it like being in your spot, Matt? So, fans, Fan Fest, A's players and officials obviously were alluded finally that they did complain to Major League Baseball about the Astros ceiling signs using technology. And they said there were no steps taken after the complaint. Asked Tuesday if the A's had complained to the league, Oakland A's manager Bob Melvin said yes. I don't know what else they could have done at that point. Melvin makes a great point here. Major League Baseball does a great job of monitoring these things, but it's very difficult if a team calls in and complains about something. They can only do so much. It took a player and a player who was on that team to put it over the top, this meaning Mike Fiers. And I think Major League Baseball is handling it very well right now. So nobody's happy about it, whether it's individual or team, whether it's the Yankees and they're playing in the postseason, or it's us, Melvin said during an interview session at Fitch Park. I think everyone was kind of fed up with it. At some point, we have to move past it. See, they were complaining about it. See, that's a very interesting take on it. And here's the Major League Baseball, in my opinion, was trying very hard to mask this by coming out up with a playoff plan, which I find bizarre. I mean, did you see that playoff plan?
It is perhaps the dumbest thing on earth. That's exactly what I tweeted out.
No, no, no. You haven't been back to the corner office.
Jeez. I mean, seriously.
I mean, why don't you be that quick? Come on.
But I mean, seriously, though, we're going to teams choose who they're going to play in the postseason. I'll give you a hint, Major League Baseball. This is what you need to do. You need to shorten the regular season. Expand the playoffs, but make it eight teams so it's even, like everybody else does. And you got your and you got to put in that pitch clock that it's been tried in the minor leagues for 3-4 years now, and it's still not making it to the majors. That's how you fix the game. End of rant.
No, I'm with you. I think that was a... When I read that, you know the first thing I thought was? Two things. Desperate and panic. We don't really know what we're doing here.
I mean, you see with the spike, Steve, as far as the pitch clock goes.
They don't have a pitch clock. They don't have one.
I thought we were doing it in some of the minor leagues.
Yes, the Atlantic League they're doing it.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The Atlantic League seems to be like their experimental league, which is interesting. But they float that idea because they knew that with reporters going to spring training, that's all anybody wants to talk about is the Astros. And that's, they were trying to, hey, we'll put this out. Well, I'm sorry, that seemed desperate to me. That kind of plan. Desperate. And I just don't... It made no sense. It still doesn't make any sense. And the Astro thing is not going away. And again, I keep circling back, obviously for personal reasons, right? Because I announced the Spikes games. And you know how much I love announcing Penn State football, and you know how much I love announcing Penn State basketball. Well, when I hit the summertime... There are no football games. There are no basketball games. There's baseball. And I love announcing the State College Spikes games. I don't like it. I love it. I enjoy the heck out of it. So I don't want that franchise touched. So I circle back on this, and I keep thinking to myself, Major League Baseball, which right now is hit with one bad piece of publicity after another. I mean, what positive publicity has come out in the past 6 weeks? None. I mean, none. Even the Hall of Fame thing, they had to bring up Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens as to why they might not be considered, which is something that's going to be an annual event. And this scandal dealing with sign stealing using technology with the team that won the whole thing for the first time in franchise history is not going to go away, which now brings me back to the minor league thing. How much more bad publicity do you want to absorb? Baseball, to me, is not in the position to be the heavy and look at 42 towns and say, nah, I'm sorry, we're done with you. Right? Well, guess what? A lot of people are seeing this, and you can't be losing fans.
But this is something that baseball has done to themselves, and they continue to do to themselves.
Well, I mean, now listen to this story. I mean, one of the guys complaining is Aaron Boone. Okay. Listen to the story in The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal's the author of it. And Rosenthal has done brilliant work on this. The Wall Street Journal reported last week on a letter MLB sent Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow as part of a disciplinary process. In the letter, the league described efforts of lower-level Astros front office members, including the director of advance information, Tom Koch Weezer, and director of team operations, Derek Vigoa, in one segment of the sign-stealing process. Vigoa had developed an algorithm called Codebreaker in Excel that helped decode signs more quickly. The introduction of Codebreaker was ultimately part of an attempt by the Astros to steal signs using their video replay room, something other teams were known to have been doing at the time in various forms. During this 2017 season, the video replay room systems have been largely unchecked until the commissioner punished two teams in September that year, the Red Sox,
right,
and the Yankees. Oh! As The Athletic previously reported, the Yankees used the video replay room to decode signs as early as 2015, Beltran's second season with the club. See, Beltran's a central figure in a lot of this. At the time, MLB's rules for electronic sign stealing were broader and largely unenforced. Following the 2017 season and again in 18, MLB put more detailed and stricter measures in place to prevent real-time electronic stealing. The Astros' development of an algorithm to decode the signs from video was legal as an advanced scouting tool, and the use of that algorithm would have remained legal had it not been deployed live during games. See, that's the key. It was used during the game, a practice the Astros eventually adopted. However, it was their other sign-stealing effort involving the trash can banging to signal pitches in real time, which Beltran and Alex Cora helped develop, that the Major League Baseball, that MLB found most egregious. Let's see. So according to, who made this statement here. According to the investigation, what happened was Cora and Beltran decided to use this video room stuff that Koch and Weezer were doing, a.k.a. Codebreaker, was not just working, inefficient, too slow. So they had some lower-level guy put up this monitor, and they did it themselves. Hmm. But it was two different things, the person continued. The real kind of crime here was why they didn't stop in September, and the banging on the trash can was over the top compared to what had happened before. See, Beltran's like a central figure, it looks like, in all this, along, obviously, and Cora is too. In the culture of major league clubhouses, players adhere ritualistically to longtime codes. To at least some, former Astros pitcher Mike Fiers broke one of those codes. What happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. When he confirmed the Astros trash can system to the Athletic, he broke that code. Deference to accomplished veterans is another enduring clubhouse dynamic. Astros second baseman Jose Altuve was not yet an MVP. Future Hall of Fame pitcher Justin Verlander did not join the team until August 31st. A.J. Hinch, who had averaged 85 wins his first 2 years with the Astros after a failed stint with the Arizona Diamondbacks, was not yet a World Series winning manager. The Manfred Report states that Hinch attempted to signal his disapproval of the Astros scheme by twice physically damaging the monitor that team members used to decode signs from center field, necessitating a replacement. But Hinch evidently feared that he would lose credibility in the clubhouse by taking further steps. Okay? And we've talked about that before, so that's not new information for you. As Hinch said, "I'm much more confident today than I was in 2017, where I fell short that I didn't believe that at the time. Otherwise, I probably would have handled it differently, and I should have." And that makes sense. Look, you're trying to find your way through it. I mean, it's not right, but like you try to put yourself inside how he's feeling at the time. No one ever said anything about how they didn't agree with the system. They loved hitting with the system. The players also continued their rule-breaking in 18 after Beltran had retired and Cora left to become the manager of the Red Sox. While the Athletic and MLB's investigation found no evidence of the Astros using the trash can banging system in 18, Manfred's report said the team replay review room staff continued, at least for part of the 18 season, to decode signs using the live center field camera feed and to transmit the signs to the dugout through in-person communication. Beltran retired after the 2017 season, a World Series champion for the first time. Less than 2 months later, he returned to one of his former teams, the Yankees, as a special advisor to Brian Cashman. By that point, paranoia about illegal sign stealing had reached a fevered pitch in the league. A good portion of that paranoia was directed at the Astros, and the Yankees already held suspicions about their 7-game loss to Houston in the 2017 American League Championship Series. Manfred's report later made clear that the Astros used both the replay room and the monitor system to the dugout to decode signs during the 2017 postseason. One Yankees official said whenever he would ask what the Astros were doing down there, Beltran would just chuckle and say, "Nothing no one else isn't doing." Well, we got more on this coming up. This is a fascinating deal. We'll go back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford is coming off with their best-selling year in its 105-year history. SMC is committed to Ford Motor Company to sell 1,000 new Fords in 2020. Wow! Pick from 25 of the totally redesigned 2020 Ford Escapes, and they start as low as $21,960. Take up to $7,500 off MSRP of the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer, and they're priced from just $33,965. Sunbury Motors is Central PA's truck capital. Choose from over 120 Ford F-150s and Super Duties. Super Duty. The F-Series truck has been the number one selling vehicle for 43 consecutive years, and SMC has them on sale for as low as $26,794. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley's transportation needs for over a century.
And the wonderful Kyle Alexander is now in because Matt Catrillo's gone off to Soika for the Bucknell women's basketball game tonight. Kyle, it is always a pleasure, my friend. You know how much I respect you.
It is good to be here. It is good to talk to you again. And yeah, Matt just took off to make the drive north to Lewisburg.
And you know, I hope you've taken my advice about not going back to the corner office because I think it could derail your broadcasting career.
Yeah, it could do that, couldn't it?
I've got a couple of helpful hints.
Oh, yeah. It's all in good fun, though.
The late Fran Fischer. One of the great lines I ever heard. You know, Fran was the master of the quick, lightning-sharp one-liner. Incredible. And one time, one of the guys from Learfield say, hey, I had a couple of suggestions about the pregame show, and Fran looked at him. He says, go sell something. I almost fell down.
And it was that said, quick.
It was that quick. Go sell something. Oh, God, I love Fran. All right, final half hour. More on the Astros.
Your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Oh, what a dynamic doubleheader coming up on Saturday at the Jordan Center. 13th-ranked Nittany Lion basketball team against Northwestern at noon. Northwestern hosts Michigan tonight. And the second-ranked wrestling team of Penn State against third-ranked Ohio State at 7:30 Saturday night. Now that is a dynamic day-night doubleheader right there. That's what's coming up. And we'll get into more of that as the week goes on. So, let's get back to the Astros here for a moment. The Athletic wrote a great story about the Carlos Beltran emergence in this. Beltran, when he goes to the Yankees, astonishes the Yankees with his ability to determine through video, legally, which of their prospects were tipping pitches. I mean, the guy knows his baseball. There's no getting around it. While his information proved useful, his overall impact was minimal, according to some members of the organization. Alex Cora, on the other hand, of course, is the Red Sox manager, and they win the 2018 World Series in his first season. In 2019, he and Beltran, opposite sides of the rivalry. In June, without any prompting, Cora made Beltran's role a surprising topic of discussion in a news conference after the Red Sox gave up 29 runs and 2 losses to the Yankees in London. Remember that? The Red Sox pitching staff got just absolutely blitzed. I was joking with someone that the Yankees' biggest free agent acquisition was Carlos Beltran, Cora said with a wink. I know how it works, you know. He's helping a lot. They're paying attention to details, and we have to clean our details. It was eye-opening the last few days from top to bottom, Cora continued. And I'm not saying devices and all that stuff. It's just stuff that the game will dictate and will scream at people and is right there. Throughout the evening, I was looking and I saw it, you know. And right now, they're a lot better than us, so we need to get better. Yankees coaches found Cora's comments curious. Beltran was on the trip, but the coaches rarely saw him otherwise. And said he had not been a part of their preparation for the series. One player recalled clubhouse chatter in London about Beltran's relationship with Cora And in another example of the widespread paranoia throughout the industry, questions about whether Beltran could be trusted with the Yankee secrets. The Yankees lost to the Astros in six. But on November 1st, Beltran was named the manager of the Mets. So now The Athletic. I mean, Ken Rosenthal, awesome reporting here. Reports that the Astros had stolen signs illegally in 2017. They identified Beltran and Cora as playing key roles. Beltran, in statements to The Athletic and The New York Post, said he was not aware of the Cameron center field and said the Astros only stole signs legally. Of course, on January 13th, A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow were dismissed. No players suspended. But they did, in the report, confirm Beltran's involvement with the Mets. Eventually, the Red Sox fired Cora. The Mets parted way with Beltran 2 days after that. Beltran made an initial comment about this. As a veteran player in the team, I should recognize the severity of the issue and truly regret the actions that were taken. I'm a man of faith and integrity, and what took place did not demonstrate those characteristics that are so important to me and my family. I'm very sorry. Month has passed. He has not made a comment since. They are going to get bombarded with questions in spring training. Baseball is considering a series of changes to further clamp down on illegal sign stealing. Well, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this. The Major League Baseball, which is an $11.7 billion industry, and I've talked about this before, so what I'm about to say is not foreign. I've said this the entire time. Instead of a centralized system, which they use now, let's go to New York, see what New York says. Each major league ballpark should have a replay booth, staff with a couple of technicians, and a fifth umpire. And they should be the only ones in the building that have access to that feed. They should be the only ones in the building that have access, unless it's, and no video allowed in dugouts. None. Zero. No video. And no centralized video in ballparks for anything except TV. You want to challenge a play? Don't check with your replay guy. You won't be able to. You're going to have to do it on your own gut instinct if you want to challenge a play. Don't give teams access to the video. If you're going to play the game, play the game. No video. Now, you're going to ask, what about video used to look at pitchers? What about video used to that hitters like to use? You can use television feeds. And if you wish to use any other kind of video, it can only be handheld cameras and SD cards. It can't go into a centralized system. Only cameras, SD cards, no centralized system. In other words, you can only record what's going on. If you want to take a look at a guy hitting, your guy hitting, your pitcher pitching. Now, of course, you know these cameras go all over the place, ask the Patriots. But no centralized system. Okay? No video in the dugouts. Period. Right? You want to challenge a play? Nope. Don't get on the phone to anybody. Not allowed. You either have to challenge it on your own gut instinct or whatever. The only centralized video is up in that one booth where the fifth umpire is anyway, with a couple of technicians to run the equipment. That's it. You notice in the NFL and in college football, they don't have video on the sideline. They have still shots. They're not allowed to have video. You're not allowed to have any video on the sideline in college football or in the NFL. You're only allowed to have still shots. So when you see everybody looking at the Microsoft Surface, those are, you know, instead of the old days of looking at Peyton Manning, I'd say Peyton Manning's the most famous example. You'd always see Peyton Manning sitting there with a book, and he'd be flipping over looking at still shots. Well, now, instead of that, that's done on a Microsoft Surface. But those are only still shots. No video. They don't allow it. In Major League Baseball, because of what happened with the Astros, they've abused the privilege. So if you want to have replay, and I'm in favor of less replay as time goes, not more, because I think it's just delaying games beyond words, and it's being overused. But I think it's time that you take a long, hard look at making sure people don't have access to it. You have to close off the access. Fifth umpire, technicians, they have the access to the only internal feed. No monitors in dugouts. None. Zero. That includes the ability to look at the monitor down to your bullpen. You've already got a coach down there. The coach can tell you if Bobby's ready or not. I mean, all video monitors out of dugouts. Probably includes clubhouse TVs too. Again, because you've abused the privilege. I mean, Major League Baseball has to do something dramatic. To stop it. And I think you have to batten down the hatches. You've got to be able to convince your fan bases that everything you do is on the up and up. And that may mean clamping down completely on any video in the ballpark, where it only gets centralized to a fifth umpire with technicians. Don't send it to New York. Not that much more money to have 15 additional umpires. They're saying, well, yeah, there are 30 teams. Yeah, but they have to play each other. There's only 15 games that could be played. Because right now they've got a huge problem. They got a huge problem on different fronts. The Red Sox thing's the next thing is about to come out. Everywhere the Astros go, it's going to haunt them and follow them everywhere. It's going to be a big story. It's the way it is. You already have enough with people talking about Hall of Fame votes and PEDs. That doesn't help. And then they get this minor league thing. Well, in the minor league thing, that's, you know, it's another one of those, hey, let's look like the heavier. You are in no position anymore to look like you're the heavy in anything. You're in trouble right now. When people don't trust your game, see, that's why, you know, we talk all the time about the gambling part, where you have to have game integrity. Well, this is a question of game integrity. People have to be able to trust what they're seeing is on the up and up. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Penn State won last night over Purdue, 88-76. The one part, you know, you're going to miss a Myron Jones no matter what. And Myron did not make the trip. He was at practice on Monday. He was limited. They made the decision after practice that we just still can't afford to take him. Again, the last thing you want, and that's why they didn't take Greg Miskinis, the strength and conditioning coach. He didn't go either because he's sick. You can't just get on a plane, sit on a plane for an hour and a half going someplace and through the internal air system have it circulate all over the place and suddenly everybody gets sick. You can't do that. So they're trying to be cautious about it. So you're going to miss the 14 points a game, his three-point ability, you know, a lot of elements, you know, his decision-making, which seems to be getting better by the week. But in last night's game, I'll tell you where you did miss him. You missed him in the last 4 minutes, 5 minutes of the game. Yes, Penn State did hit 11 of its last 12 free throws, so the free throw line was not even an issue. And somebody said to me, oh, they were missing free throws. I said, they hit 11 of the last 12. What, that one they missed caused undue heartache to you? What? And, but you missed having the additional ball handler out there, the additional passer out there, the additional free throw guy out there. Again, there, I know they were 11 to 12 in free throws, but still, it doesn't bother you if he's got the ball in his hands and they foul him. You're like, yeah, fine, go ahead, send him to the line. And that's where you just missed that one additional skilled ball handler, ball mover, decision maker, free throw maker. That one additional guy that helps steady the whole operation. That's the part they were missing in with him at the end. So, and I'll go to practice tomorrow morning. They're not practicing today. I'll go to practice tomorrow in the morning. We'll see if he's back out there. I wouldn't be surprised based on what I know that he's pretty close. But I'd like to find out for sure. And they well-deserved day. I mean, you have to have one day off anyway. I mean, when you're in this pattern of and Penn State's in the current pattern of Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. You can't take the day off before the Tuesday game. You got to take it. You got to take it on the Wednesday, and they'll do the same thing this time too. They'll play Saturday. They got to practice Sunday, probably more film. Practice Monday, and then they've got Illinois Tuesday. Then they'll probably get the Wednesday off, and then they'll start getting ready for that Sunday game at Indiana. So that's how they'll play it. And again, it's that day-night doubleheader, man. Basketball, noon, wrestling at 7:30. That's going to be quite a Saturday at the Jordan Center. And how's the wrestling team been doing? Huh? They've been remarkable. Really, they're one win against Iowa from winning that one in Iowa City with that raucous crowd there. Then they come back home and they take apart Maryland, then they go out to Madison, take apart Wisconsin, then they go out to Minneapolis, take apart Minnesota. Now they got Ohio State. I think this is going to be one heck of a dual meet on Saturday night. Oh, by the way, in between, if you need some time to fill in between basketball and wrestling, there's a men's gymnastics meet over at Rec Hall at 4 o'clock. Mel Tucker takes the head coaching job at Michigan State after just 1 year at Colorado. There are a lot of people surrounding the Colorado program that are furious right now, including Drew Pearson, the former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, whose grandson signed a letter of intent to play for Colorado. So Pearson put out this tweet today. Mel Tucker is a con man. He recruited my grandson to go to CU and said he wasn't going anywhere, and then ups and leaves. Sat there and lied to my face he wasn't going anywhere. So I'm going to beat him up today on social media. What else can I do? Michigan State was able to double his money. They were able to double his money. I mean, you're 1 year on the job and suddenly you make twice the money. You'd take another job to get it, but twice the money. Again, that probably is going to be the difference right now between the resources of a Big Ten school and the resources of a Pac-12 school, which we detailed earlier in the show. Kyle, thanks so much for sitting in for Matt. We appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. It is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very much. By the way, just go straight. In fact, use the back door to leave. Don't go by the... Don't go by the back corner office. Of late, in the last 7 weeks, I've heard Patrick Chambers preach to his team about poison. Right? Poison. Just block it all out. Okay? If you go back to the corner office, you know what the problem's going to be?
What's that?
Poison. All right, so I'm back for the 7 o'clock show. Don't forget to tip your waitress.